Hey, you asked for it and you got it. Another fun and exciting episode of This Xbox Life, episode 42. Gather around me here on the virtual table. Was me, your host Rob, also known as Presar on Xbox Live. Then to my right is someone that's neither a zombie nor a plant, nor a B-52. We have BJ Swick 33.
Yeah, hello.
And over in front of him, straight from vitamin B12, is Moronic Cow.
Don't know how you got that, but what's up, everybody?
And to his left, and in front of me, I have someone that just flew in from G4, and boy, are his arms tired. Wingman 709.
Ba-boom. Hey! What up? I'm so tired. My arms hurt. I can't put my arms down.
And the show is going to be humor like this all day long because
Yes.
really
Yeah.
nothing happened this week. So what are we
No.
going to talk about?
Absolutely nothing, that had like a letter and a number in its name.
Yeah.
Nothing.
It's going to be like a 2-minute show.
I only got one thing I need to say for the entire show.
Was
Yeah. That's all we need to talk about right there.
Yeah. We'll save that for later. How about that? Because there's plenty of other things to talk about than your little orb sound.
It's later. It's now is later.
Yeah.
Also
Well,
late. Later is later.
let's get through the what we've been playing so we can get to the fun stuff.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll go ahead and lead it off this week, I guess. A highly anticipated game of mine that I played this week was One versus 100. It debuted on Monday, June 1st, and it was I have to say very fun. I didn't know that you could only have four people in a group, and I think that it kicks you out of the party that you're in, like when you actually join it. Either that, or I'm just bad luck, and I cause every party that I join to crash that's over four people,
You're a party crusher.
which
No,
might be
it was the game. You're limited to four people.
okay. Well, so I got to play with two other people, Dark Christoph and Da Big Bug. Got in and we played. We had a lot of fun. I thought that the host was probably the best part of the game, besides, the trivia and the avatars and stuff like that. I mean, the host, there were definitely bugs in the actual game, and that's why they did kind of a soft release with the beta. But the host, I think, give him a couple more live shows and he will be really, really good. He a after the actual game, he just kept talking for 6 minutes, about Xbox Live and about, cracking jokes along the way. And it was just really enjoyable to listen to. I played some Terminator Salvation, got an easy K out of that one. That was a horrible game, but very quick and painless. Battlefield 2 was also on the list. Wolverine just got into that game and playing it on normal, so we'll see how long it takes me to get through it and get through that final boss, because I know someone here had a little problem
You'll
with that final
get
boss.
it. You'll probably have it faster than Braun, and I'm just a moron. We already know. Don't worry about it.
Mine took four, so if you can beat it less than four times, you got me.
Okay. Because like the first guy that the Sabretooth guy, he kind of made me mad because he also regains health, so it's like great. So I didn't attack him long enough and he regained all his health, and I was like, wonderful. And also, actually, as we speak, I'm playing NCAA 2009. I want to get this game done in 24 hours because I want to mail it off tomorrow so I can have a chance to get prototype on Tuesday, or whenever Gamefly ships it to me. But I'm going through the 30 years of Dynasty mode right now, and I've managed to get UNC kicked out of the Big East, and they're now in the Atlantic 10 Conference. I think they've won under 5 games the last 10 seasons, and I'm about halfway there. So I'll be simulating through that the whole entire show. So that'll be fun. And
It's like hiring a driver.
that's exactly. And Forza 3 comes out, I'm definitely going to be hiring those drivers to get those achievement points. But it works out. I got the 360 right next to me, and it takes about 7, 8 minutes to sim through a season. Then you got to do all the preseason stuff. It's a lot of fun. It's great. But hey, 100 achievement points is well worth it. So that's pretty much it from what I played this week. And I have to say, it is nice to be back. I was very sad that I missed last week, but had some fun as well. So,
don't you want to talk about anything else?
Actually, let's get through what we've been playing, and I'll talk about that in a second.
All right.
I think I know what you're hitting at.
Okay. Well, I managed to play some Rock Band 2, both online and solo. It was a lot of fun, and I find that, you know, when I put the game down for a while and then I come back to it, you know, like a couple weeks later or something like that, I enjoy it all over again.
It's like 10 times funner if you play it after you haven't played it for a while.
Exactly.
I know what you're saying.
And you really, it's got a replay value unlike a lot of other games. And big fan of that game. Now, the 1 versus 100, I really wanted to play that. I got in, or I got online maybe about 15, 20 minutes after things started, and I couldn't get in. So that kind of upset me. I'm hoping to get in tonight, or not tonight, Saturday.
Saturday, 5 p.m. But they did, I don't know if you heard about it, but they did put a cap on and my brother, about a minute after I got in, my brother tried to get in on his Xbox, and he got that little message that I'm sure you got as well.
Yep.
So they had achieved 50,000 players before the game had actually even launched.
Wow.
And Cashman, the host, said that they did cap it to 50,000 and that they would release that cap on Saturday. So
awesome. So I'm really looking forward to it.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard so many great things about it, and you know, I'd really love to experience. I watched all the videos that they have on live about it, and I'm looking forward to it. So, other than that, I played some whole bunch of different browser games, a little bit at work and a little bit at home. There's some really addicting ones out there, but I'm not going to get into that too much. And I think that's about it. Oh, and Bionic Commando. Played a little bit of that. That's it. Hey, Mark?
I also got into the 1 versus 100. It was weird because, like Kyle said, there was like six of us in our party, and we were all sitting there talking, well, how do we get into this? How do we get in? Oh, hey, it says it's about to start. Well, what do we do? You know, it was kind of weird. It's like the game downloaded all on its own without us doing anything, and then we were trying to figure out, did it download because we set a reminder, or is it just doing it for everybody if you're on? We weren't sure about what was going on, but finally we figured out how to get in. And it was like once we got in, all of a sudden everybody was getting disconnected from the party. And but what turns out is all of a sudden I was in the game and I was sitting there by myself, and all of a sudden I see three other people pop up in with me. And one of them was Captain Hook, who was just in my party. Another guy was Old Man from Mars, who is also one of our listeners, who'd actually just sent me a friend's request that night. I hadn't actually even accepted it yet. It was still sitting there as a message waiting, but he popped in with me. And then we got another guy who was in, so I'm not sure where he was from. But it was weird how Captain Hook and I ended up together. So I don't know if it hooks up you with your friends or people on your friends list, or I'm not sure how it works, but we had a blast. All of us were laughing. We were, you know, someone's like, I mean, we were hitting like the wrong buttons because you're trying to get real fast on the question. And we were looking into the stats, and I don't know. I still think this first game was kind of rigged because if you look through some of the stats, they were talking about like the fastest response times were like 0.1 seconds. And all of us are like at 2 seconds, 1.9 on our, and like the best guy on the thing was like 0.1.
But you know what that the guy's probably doing is he's like, right when the question comes up, you can press a button and it can register it. So right when the question reads off, you can press B and you're locked in at B and you have the fastest response time. Now you don't have any idea what B is, but that's what I thought when I saw that. I was like, well, somebody's just,
well,
know,
I mean, I mean, rigged for the fact of beta testing.
Oh,
like possibly what I was wondering is if they had, if the mob were maybe the one that they had was maybe just scripted for the purpose of testing specific things. So
you probably would never, you could probably never figure that out. Except for that. I mean, just about one of the only argument for that, I guess, is that one of everything happened. You had the mob beat. You had the mob
which,
beat the
which
one.
Is a, that's another reason why I think
beat the mob, and then you had one disconnected, and it was like, oh, you know. So and then two people took the money. So even though they didn't get any money. So yeah, a good point.
Sorry, I got a phone sitting here next to me ringing.
I only heard it ring once. Okay, twice.
There you go. We're, it's still ringing.
We're live and raw here, people.
Yeah, woo!
Yeah.
Turn off your cell phone, you crazy people at E3. I'm trying to podcast here.
Yeah. They want you. They want you to book for E3 2010.
Yeah, yeah. But
co-op guys.
But the game was it was a lot of fun. I did my wife even sat down and watched it, and she was like answering questions, and she really liked it. All of us were in the game. We were just cracking up, dude. I mean, we were laughing at some of the questions, and very relevant. I mean, we were seeing questions that were like in the news that day. I was like, well, this was just on the news today. And there was a lot of stuff that was within a day or two of being in the news or something happening that the questions were relevant to, which I thought was really cool. And then there were some issues that we did see, like sometimes when I'm watching a video for the commercial break or I'm hearing Chris Cashman, other people in my party couldn't hear him or see the video. And then that would revert. Huh. So there was never really an issue with the gameplay. It seemed to all be in between the question sessions where there was like glitches, but I'm sure that's what they're working out. So, but it was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. The only thing I don't like is that it was a 2-hour game, and by the end of it, because it didn't even start till 9 o'clock, and it was 9:30. So it was like after 11, I'm sitting here. I'm like, I got to go to work and get up at 5 o'clock. I'm tired. That's, I think, the one thing that might keep me from it is that you have to be on your Xbox at a set time. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes. But with the fact that you can win real prizes, that's going to be an incentive to make sure I'm there. But it was a lot of fun. It was probably the only really fun game I played this week because, I played Wanted, Weapons of Fate. Don't waste your time. Even though it only takes you 4 hours to beat the game, it's not very good.
So the demo was true?
Yes. Think? Yeah. I thought I'd give it a shot anyways, you know, Gamefly. There was nothing current, and my Gamefly's sitting there like, you know, they're not sending me anything. So I was like, all right, let me put something out here that's available, and it was not very good. The other game that I'm currently playing, which is even worse, is Fear 2. Now, I'm not a fan of the original Fear game. I thought it was boring, and I did play through the whole thing. I just really didn't like it, so I had no intention of playing this. But again, I had sent all my games back, and I was kind of – there was really nothing out there that I wanted to play until some new stuff starts coming in here this month. So I'm like, well, here's one. I'll try it. And it's the same as the original game, except it looks better. I'm doing nothing but running through an office building, going through the same office areas I swear I did before, except they look pretty. The visuals are great. I will give it that. It's an amazing looking game, but it's boring as can be. I'm very bored by it, and I really don't think I'm going to finish it. I don't know. I just have no desire to turn it back on and get any further, so... but anyways, that's enough of that. That's it for me. What have you been doing? What have you been doing, Bron?
Yeah, that's exactly it. Like I said last week, if Crackdown 2 was going to be announced, I was going to get Crackdown 1. Now, I didn't buy it, but my friend let me borrow his. So on Wednesday, we had our game out toward the end. So I came home and I spent a couple, like a half hour, 45 minutes on my Xbox, and that was about it. Because I had a big get together with my family, and we went and watched Up, Disney's, the new Disney Pixar movie. Up, so that was it. Sleeping and just busy, so I've played some Crackdown. That's about it.
And what'd you think?
I love that game. I'm so excited about the second one now. But like, we'll get into it, and just me saying that I'm excited about Crackdown, although it wasn't like my favorite game that I saw out of E3, but yeah, we'll get to that. So,
alrighty,
awesome. Well, is that it for everybody? Everybody got their fill of telling us what they played this week?
Yep.
All right. Well, I do have to say something pretty monumental in this Xbox Live gaming went on this week. And that is that I passed Wingman for the number one spot in GamerScore. I used Terminator Salvation to my advantage. Okay, let's stop. And and I passed him, and now I got a 500-point lead. I was hoping that I could maintain just so I could record in this show. So if you see that he's already passed me by the time Tuesday rolls around, which wouldn't surprise me, then it did happen for a short period of time. But I do have a clip to show real fast, or to for everybody to listen to. I'm not going to set this thing up until after I play it. But this was pre-Rob, pre-Brun, so let's have a look. See if this is actually going to play.
In episode one, I talked about how I was up by 300 gamer points, and man, it just wasn't – I mean, Mark would never catch me, right? Well, it seems that he was up to the challenge more than I expected him to be. And I don't know. What's your gamer score now, Mark?
It's like 3850, I think.
3850. Well, see, mine's 3550. So it seems that right now you are the number one host with the gamer score thing. So that's congratulations, right. Props, claps.
Woo, crowds are wild.
You beat me so far, but I'm not done yet. I have Gra 2 now, so.
Gra 2.
There you go.
Thank you. I'd like to thank the Academy and
all right, let's not turn this into the Oscars, okay? Now that I said that, let's move on.
All
right. Well, that clip right there was from our second show way back in the day. A little over 2 years ago, that clip was dated March 17th, 2007. So, and that was the first time that Wingman had passed me, and he had that lead for a little over 2 years. I finally took it back 50,000 gamer score later. So, man, it's been an unbelievable run. You gave me a really good run for my money, and we'll see what happens next, because literally 3 days later, this guy passed me right after we recorded. So I'm leery to celebrate my victory yet, but I think until I have like a 20K lead, I won't be halfway happy. So I hope you guys enjoyed that. That was something I dug up from the way back when. But
yeah, that's pretty funny, because yeah. You say that was your second episode.
That was our second episode. You joined us on 5.
Yeah, 3 weeks later is when I first joined. and at that point, I had I didn't even have an Xbox, did I?
You had.
You had to.
Oh, yeah. I had an Xbox, but I didn't have Live.
Mm.
So my gamer score was like 200.
Yeah,
it's kind of like
was
mine.
Down there.
Yeah. I was about where Rob was now.
Or is, yeah.
Well,
hey, man.
Well, Kyle, you don't have to worry. You'll hold on to it. You'll hold on to it.
All right.
So, and I've already moved on the website. I put your gamer card up on top. Rightfully belongs.
Yep. I had to endure a lot of bad games to get to this point. So
yeah, I'll let you hold on to it for at least a week or two. You know, since you went through all those games, you know.
All right. Well.
Week or two.
No, I seriously, I just have no desire to try to keep up. I'm too many bad games, man. They killed me. I don't know how you did it, man.
I don't know how
he had a goal. Yeah.
There was a little goal involved, and yeah. the constant weekly email: "Are you going to pass me yet? Are you going to pass me yet? Are you going to pass me yet?" So I finally was able to do it with another bad game in Terminator Salvation. So at least it was quick.
Oh,
but thought I'd throw that out there. It actually took me quite a long time to find that clip, but I was determined to find it. So
did you get the proper authority to be able to use it?
I didn't really care about that, but to make a long story short, we lost all of our like 1 through 8. We lost our episodes way back when, and I actually pulled that clip off of a YouTube clip that's still up for the when you used to do the previews wing, the first 10 minutes. That's where I pulled that off.
You should have just asked me. I have almost every episode. There's only a few that we're missing, but I have like the first 15, and then there's a group that are missing a couple, and then all the rest. I have every one of them backed up.
Oh,
so,
but anyways.
Anyways, so. No one here cares about that. So
no,
they're going. Not. What are these guys talking about? Just a real quick. We used to do another. We had Kyle and I started another Xbox related show a couple years ago, and then Brun joined us, and then we all left, and we started this show up. So. That clip you heard was from the original show way back in the day. So,
yeah, if you thought you missed something in episode 2, you didn't, because it wasn't here.
It wasn't this podcast. So,
2 years ago, can you believe that? 2 years and 3 months. That's just ridiculous. But
all right. Well, all right. Enough of the nostalgia. We need to move on because we got a huge monster show today.
We do have a big show.
And
a really big shoe.
And before we jump into that, we are going to cancel our Friday Night Lives for the summertime. We know last summer it was tough to get people in because everybody's just so busy and they're out partying and stuff and enjoying the weather. And so we're just going to cancel. You know, hey, if you see us online, I mean, we're probably still going to be on, you know. So jump on in with a party and we'll still play. And then if something big comes out sometime here between the Christmas holiday that everybody's playing, we'll do some multiplayer, not a big deal. And so, but we're officially going to cancel them just for the summer. So
that sounds so harsh. How about we're going to defer them till the fall?
We're going to, okay, there you go.
Yeah.
We're going to cancel it.
Yeah. It's TBA now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know that
postponed.
I know you're torn apart about that, Rob.
Yeah.
Well, I think another reason is that, honestly, you know, not only schedules, but a lot of big multiplayer games haven't come out. I mean, when it comes to, I think the real big blockbuster title that's coming out for that will support multiplayer, the next game is going to be ODST. You know, that everyone is pretty much going to be getting, at least renting. And you know, ODST starts everything, I would say. But like Gratu, Rainbow Six Vegas 2, you know, all those games, you know, they're fun, but playing them every 3 weeks is kind of getting old. So we need some fresh blood.
Yeah.
And we'll get that this winter. That's for dang sure. If you're ready for it or not, looks like you're going to get that stuff. So. But I say, unless we want to talk about FNL a little bit more, I say we just jump right into it.
Let's do it.
Well, who wants to lead? Do you want me to lead?
Go for it.
Lead with this.
All right, we're going to talk about that a little later because I have my doubts about this.
Oh, no, no, no naysaying from you. Just...
Yeah, okay, well, we'll get to it in order.
I'm going to mute you.
Now, did you guys get to watch the Microsoft briefing on Monday at all?
Yep.
Okay. Yep, a little bit.
Yep, a little bit. Yep. Was that first minute?
The beginning. Okay. And, you know, some of us have very rough work schedules, so, you know, we can't watch, you know, E3 stuff all day.
I pulled 28 hours this week, so.
Yeah, Rob called the part where it's like, welcome to E3 2009 Xbox conference.
No, he got the part where it's like, please silence your cell phones. And
then I closed the window.
Silence your cell phones.
But first game they showed, and I think this game is looking better by the second, is Rock Band Beatles. They announced an exclusive downloadable song, I believe, as well as some DLC, a full album DLC. I think I caught that there was going to be 45 songs on the actual disc.
Correct.
And the game looks really good. I watched a developer interview on it after E3, and the game looks just like Rock Band, just a little prettied up and Beatles. So I'm definitely very interested in renting this one. The bass just looks really good and is calling my name right now. But you guys have any thoughts on Rock Band Beatles?
I was actually kind of impressed too when I saw, like, this, just listening to the songs. I was like, it's the Beatles, you know?
Yeah.
I was like, that's so cool. As far as the game wise, it was neat, but I don't know.
Well, what do you guys think about the announcement that the DLC will be compatible or cross-compatible between Rock Band 2 and Rock Band Beatles, claiming that the Rock Band Beatles is going to be a completely separate platform than Rock Band and Rock Band 2?
Doesn't bother me at all.
I think it goes completely against what they were trying to do, which was make a platform.
Yeah.
It's a completely different game, though. You don't have three-part harmonies in Rock Band or Rock Band 2. I mean, they're adding things that are not in the other games that, you know, you can't. How are you supposed to make that come across?
Right.
You know, and if you try to make it backwards compatible or make it come back, then you're going to lose that ability to do what you can do in the original game. So,
this is true.
The one thing is it is called Rock Band Beatles, right? That's correct. The real title. So, I mean, being that it is a different game and it's not Rock Band 2 : the Beatles, you know, I guess I could agree with that.
Yeah, and they and they've got so much material, the Beatles do, that, I mean, they can probably add a ton of DLC to the Beatles version specifically and still have it be pretty entertaining.
Oh yeah.
Well, I mean, think about it. If there's 45 songs on the disc, you know, I bought that Pearl Jam album. That was almost $20. You know, or even better, I bought the AC/DC Rock Band thing. It was 18 songs on there. It was $30. Okay, so if I'm paid twice that price, I'm going to get more than twice the songs if I'm just buying the game.
Yeah.
You know, all your other instruments work. You don't need anything special. You know, you can just buy the game for $60. It's still a great deal for all the music and,
as well as all the color schemes it seems like, listening to the interview, they did a lot of work on kind of making sure that the Beatles were the focal point and playing through kind of reliving the Beatles' career from step one to the final stage.
And I mean, if you saw in the briefing, was it George Harrison and John Lennon's wives came out along with Paul McCartney and Ringo Starr.
Right.
I mean, so there was representatives there. And then there was two other people who are, you know, part of the AppleCore group and have all their rights to the music and stuff. And I guess they were, you know, they're all very deeply involved and they helped shape this game to what it is to accurately represent the Beatles and honor them and give them the respect and, you know, the game that they deserve. So there's going to be, you know, we talked about Metallica, the game having the band taking a lot of care into how they shaped that game. And you could tell, and the game was a lot of fun. This is going to be the same type of thing, you know?
So, yeah, I would agree.
I just looked it up online here, and in the US, they released 19 studio albums and 34 compilation albums. That's a lot of songs.
That is a lot of songs.
Yeah, they have like 212 songs total or something like that. I think it's like 212 that were released. And there's still actually a catalog of stuff that was never released.
Right.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah.
Right.
So.
And this was actually a special announcement that they had, I guess, that just fell in the last minute, because the briefing was actually moved 5 minutes up to incorporate Rock Band Beatles into the actual show. I'm assuming that had to do with their special guest appearances at the beginning. So that was pretty cool.
See, I don't know if it was, because all those people that would have had to have all those people there, that would have had to been set far in advance. So there had to be, I don't think it was the Beatles thing that pushed it forward. I think there was something else that they decided to add in, and they pushed it. Cause I mean, you know, as much as long, cause that was more than 5 minutes, that whole Rock Band thing, that
right.
intro was a lot more than 5 minutes. And like I said, getting those people there, that would have taken lots of work and scheduling, and, you know, all those people aren't just going to show up at the last second going, oh, we're
here.
Yeah.
True. Yeah. That's
even
true.
Though, even though Paul and Ringo were pretty bad on stage,
yeah,
that was pretty brutal.
But at least they were there. I mean, they're icons. Yeah,
iconic icons.
Same thing. But definitely looking forward to that. September 9th, 2009 is the release date for that bad boy. Definitely going to rent it, and probably from there I'll buy it, because Harmonix makes some pretty darn good stuff. Going right down the list.
Love. La, da, 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 da.
Okay, going right down the list, we got a special appearance as
Come
well.
Come on, Robin Brunn, harmonize with me.
from Tony Hawk. And it's Tony Hawk Ride. The game is going to feature this skateboard peripheral-like thing that is supposed to mimic the real-life thing. What did you guys think of that? Were you impressed at all with the peripheral, the graphics?
It kind of reminded me of the Wii Fit, personally.
Yeah.
But
okay.
it looks interesting.
I mean, I wrote a story on it, a couple weeks ago, just another peripheral. Oh, wow, yeah. Thanks. Yeah.
I think it's a cool peripheral.
I think it's neat.
Though.
I think it's neat. Yeah, I do think it's a cool and everything, but I don't know.
It's so more than a board.
Than a board, but it also comes with a pretty steep price tag. And how much are you going to spend on a fake skateboard for a game?
What's it go for? Much. Or what's it going to go for?
We don't know yet.
Oh, no.
You said it was a pretty steep price tag.
Oh, I'm sure it's going to be expensive. I'll say it. The board looks good. And the board does a lot of things that I think will go for a very high price.
Yeah, I mean,
there's got other peripherals.
Yeah, there's like
the racing wheel is still what, $120.
Yeah.
See, I was gonna say what's an Xbox controller? It's an Xbox controller's $50.
Yeah.
So now, this thing has accelerometers and stuff probably in it. It's probably over $200.
And I think it's wireless. And
it's wireless as well. Yeah. But with Natal, which we'll get to later, we shouldn't even need that peripheral.
That's what I thought was funny, was that they go and bring this out in the beginning, and then later on, Natal comes out, and I was like, so you don't need the Tony Hawk board?
Well, that's Ubisoft right there. That's not Microsoft. But then again, they did choose to show off Tony Hawk. So.
Tony Hawk was, he comes out with his peripheral at Microsoft's conference, and then an hour later, Microsoft negates the point of even needing it.
But I haven't played a Tony Hawk since the N64 days, so I doubt that this one will make me play it anymore. But all right, well, let's get to something that we all want to play as soon as possible.
Oh, and hold on.
What?
Hold on, I got something for you.
No, here we go.
Close your ears.
No, I'll turn it down. But ooh, let me find a good one. This will be good, I guess.
Grenade!
Since it's coming from me.
Well, if you haven't guessed it so far, which I don't know how you couldn't have, it's Modern Warfare 2. And we got an on-stage demo of this thing. And
Bravo 6, come in. Bravo 6, what's your status?
An exclusive look at the earlier mission in the game called Cliffhanger. And you start out climbing up a mountain, and then you basically eventually assault a airbase and then have to run away on a snowmobile. And the game looks awesome. Unbelievable.
Oh, that's like an understatement.
Until November 10th, 2009 to come, so I can play this game for hours upon end. I mean, well, you guys, anything jump out at that trailer other than pure awesomeness that you really look forward to?
Game of the year.
Yeah, amen to that.
You know how everybody's always talking about, ooh, this game's, it's the best looking water we've ever seen, and all. No lie. I'm originally from the northern states, okay? I've seen a lot of snow. That game represents just perfectly what it's like to be in a blizzard. I was amazed by how real that looked. Mm. I mean, I was blown away. The snow just blew me away. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, it's I can't wait. I mean, there's not much we can really say about it any more than just, I can't wait. I mean, we've seen videos and stuff of it, so.
I mean, I don't know if it would be like my, I don't think it's my game of the show, just because it's what we expected. There's nothing really new. It looks, you know, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be modern. And, you know, they've just, you know, you ride the snowmobiles, but I mean, and that's kind of cool. But it's really just another vehicle mission. You know, I mean, all in all, this game's probably going to be very much what we've seen before, just in different environments on different, you know. The gun was pretty cool because it had a radar on it, which I thought was interesting. But, I mean, so it's hard to get excited about it because they've, you know, we've seen what Infinity Ward can do. So we expect exactly what we saw.
Right,
you know, so it's almost hard for them to show themselves up because they've set the bar so high.
Yeah, right. I wouldn't call game of the show. It's not my game of the show, but the reason why I say game of the year is because it's just gonna rock everything.
It's gonna rock our wallets as well.
Do you think it's gonna rock Xbox Live and kill it?
No,
I think they'll.
But think about it. Remember what happened last year with Call of Duty 4 hit.
Yeah, I know, but I think they've learned their lesson.
Yeah,
I think
exactly.
They got stuff in.
Okay, but what? How many copies have they sold of that game over the last year?
I think it's 14 million.
Yeah. Now, remember when Call of Duty 4 originally shipped, you probably had a couple million units sold that first week.
Mm-hmm.
Now you've got 14 million people that are like, this is the greatest game ever, are dying for the sequel. You're going to have a lot more people on playing that than probably, I'll bet you it breaks all live records that week.
It's going to break a lot of
records. I bet it breaks records. I don't think it will break live. I will be very, very surprised and kind of disappointed, to be quite honest, if live does go down on the 9th or 10th.
I hope not. I hope it doesn't go down, but it wouldn't. I mean, as popular as this game is
One would understand if 14 million people are hitting the same server at the exact same time, you know. But, I doubt that 14 million will be buying the game day one. It's a Christmas present, and I think you'll see that spread out over time. I think your biggest hit will be Christmas.
Yeah, that could be. That's what happened last time after Christmas. Because people were also getting Xbox Live Gold accounts. And
right. Just all in all, a horrible week for live,
but we did get Undertow out of the deal, so
yeah great.
And I forgot to say something earlier and talking about how many people were online. This reminded me something. We've heard of Mag from Sony, how they've been touting their 256 player game and all that, and I get, you know, they had it at E3 and they were playing it and it looks cool and all, but I couldn't help but notice that they're talking how big their 256 player game is, yet Kyle and myself participated in a single game last week with 50,000 people in the same game. Just thought I'd throw that out there.
I think I see where you're coming from, and I agree to a point, but I think that 1 versus 100 is slightly less processing than MAG.
They are throwing out numbers.
But I will say, like, they keep saying, yeah, they keep saying 256, 256, 256, and it will be very interesting to see on Saturday tomorrow.
Yeah, because we're going to be over 50,000 tomorrow.
Oh, we're going to be uncapped. I would not be surprised to see our number go to 30,000 or 300,000 or more, maybe. So
I just wanted to throw that out there, a little jab.
Yeah, I hear you, but I don't think it's a very fair comparison.
Yeah. All right. What's our...
Well, the next on the list was actually another exclusive gameplay coming from Square Enix and Final Fantasy XIII. To me, I think this is going to be a quick one because I don't think any of us here are pretty big JRPG fans. They showcased a couple different things that were unannounced, like the ability to conjure what was it, like beasts or something earlier in the game than ever before, and they kind of showed the differences in the fighting sequences and stuff like that. The game looks good. I don't think I'll be picking this one up just because I tried Star Ocean and really didn't like it. Anybody want to comment on that?
Sure, I got one comment for it. I think it looks nice.
Yeah, it does.
And for the people that like Final Fantasy, everybody's excited for it. My one comment doesn't have to do anything with Xbox, but I wish I had a slow clap, like one of those like embarrassing slow claps. But how does Sony come off saying we have an exclusive Final Fantasy 14 online?
Yeah, and it's supposed to ship in the same year that Final Fantasy 13 is.
Which they've done that before.
Which they have, and then. The greatest thing afterwards is, I don't know if you caught this, but during the Square Enix press conference, they commented on Sony's touted exclusive only possible on the PlayStation, and Square Enix basically said, we're still surveying our options when it comes to which console we're going to release our game on.
Right.
So it's not exactly an exclusive yet, but I thought that was kind of a stupid move by Sony.
Well, I thought it was funny just because they're talking about they're real hyped about Final Fantasy 14, and everybody that I've watched stuff, they're always
over 13.
Their first thing was, why do you announce a game when the one before it's not even out yet?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
That's because they had nothing else.
Yeah.
Everything else was already had been leaked before the conference.
We can talk about that. Like,
we'll save them for the end. That's where
I have
they
a couple
belong.
Things for all three conferences. So.
All right. Well, moving right along, Epic showed something a little bit different this year. They showed instead of Gears of War 3, they showed an arcade game that they've been working on called Shadow Complex. And basically, it's a side-scroller, third-person, well, obviously, third-person, but it's basically, you know, just kind of a run-of-the-mill arcade game. It looks kind of cool.
That looks really darn good.
Yeah, it does look good.
I wouldn't call it run-of-the-mill.
I mean, I don't know. I'm still not sold on this thing yet, but it does look good. I just don't see... I don't know. I'm definitely going to have to play a demo.
Yeah,
it's like
I'm not
Contra
interested.
On steroids.
Yeah, that's what I would say.
It's going to be
I'm
a live.
Not interested.
It's going to be a live game, or is it going to be?
Arcade.
An arcade game, or okay.
Arcade. Yeah. And basically, you know, like some of the things that they were touting would be like destructible environments and the ability to kind of use your wits to find different ways to get through the game faster, or if you wanted to take it slow and. Kill everybody, you know, that type of deal. Yeah, and I mean, it does look good, but I'll definitely have to try a demo first.
I almost want to guarantee that it'll be the first $30 XBLA game.
Yeah, really? Probably.
I
heard that it was kind of short. I heard that you could go through it in 4 hours. That's what they said, at least.
So I kind of want to guarantee that, or I want to kind of say that it'll be the first $30 XBLA game.
I don't think that.
I think it's going to be $20 though.
Yeah.
I would say it's
going to be up there.
Or $16.
Well, $20 for that I could see, but for some reason I think they want to stretch it. I don't. That's just my opinion. But speaking of spending a lot of money, the next one.
Oh, yeah, okay, I got that little transition there. Joyride, which was announced at E3, is a big park creation, and if you'd been following the news in Microsoft acquiries lately, Big Park was picked up by Microsoft not too long ago, and they announced their first title that they're working on called Joyride, and basically it's kind of like a Mario Kart, but with your avatar. And I was listening to the developer interview on it, and basically, you know, you just kind of it's going to be free to download for gold members, and basically you just kind of get in and you just start racing, and it's with your avatar. You can do tricks with your avatar, and that's kind of how you score points. So I thought that was kind of cool, and this game will support microtransactions. So if you want to pimp out your car, download new stuff for your car, new paint jobs, stuff like that, those will be microtransactions, but they wanted to make sure that everybody knew that it was a free-to-play, you can complete the whole game without spending another dime, but if you want to, you can.
Actually, there's been a couple games in the past very similar to this, and there was even one that was cel-shaded on the old Xbox. I mean, and these games were awesome. I'm actually really looking forward to this thing.
Well, it's free, so hey, yeah. You can't. But have you gotten the last free arcade game? Have you gotten the 200 Microsoft points on that?
Maybe.
Doritos Dash.
Maybe.
I doubt it.
Yeah,
but the thing's going to be microtransactions, so they're going to get their money out of you.
Yeah,
because you're going to want to get some boost or, you know, improve that to beat your buddies.
Yeah, and dress up your car and things like that.
And I'd like to say that we did call this one.
Yeah.
We called this. We said Microsoft needs a kart racer with your avatars. Boom. Answered.
And Sony got a kart racer as well.
Who cares? Probably a Blu-ray kart racer that'll cost you $400.
Actually, I would like to talk about that one, but anyways. Okay, well, that's probably it for Joyride. No.
Oh, hold on. I'm next.
Okay. let me give her a release date window for this Joyride, and then you can have all your fun in the world, and I'm going to rain on your parade after this.
No.
Joyride is coming out winter 2009. And take it away, Wing. That was it.
When I heard that, I mean, and this is what I thought was interesting. The whole press conference went dark. Screen went dark. You hear that sound.
Yeah.
And I was shocked that the crowd didn't just go freaking nuts. Because it was weird, like the crowd was very quiet and subdued for this Microsoft. They got excited over a different announcement, which has nothing to do with gaming, which I don't understand. But I thought the place would erupt at that point. But that was the intro. You heard that Agility Orb sound before they launched into the Crackdown 2 trailer or announcement, because it wasn't really a trailer because there was no gameplay. But I was very excited by the fact that the sequel is coming. We figured it probably was. I think we called that too, because we were talking about it just a week prior about why would they put a theme on the marketplace if they weren't planning Crackdown 2. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense on an old game to put. You know, there was just some things going on that this had to come. It's hard to say what we expect because we didn't see any gameplay, so we don't really know what to expect. I do have some concerns, Kyle, The one thing that I'm worried about is because they were talking about the city's infected, and then they make it look like from the trailer, like, you know, the super cop, you guy, you're running down this bad dude, you go in this alley, you kill him, and, you know, your round, you know, from your gun falls on this sewer grate and it rattles around, and all of a sudden the ground starts shaking, and they're, you know, they're just talking about, you know, how, what was this, I mean, crime has nowhere to hide, you know, and then you hear this rumbling, and then you see your shadow, and all of a sudden there's this big monster, and then it's like, well, you don't have any place to hide either, and so I'm hoping that they don't turn this game into some kind of zombie infected prototype Infamous Left 4 Dead kind of clone and try to mix that type of game into what Crackdown was, because I think that would really be stupid. I don't think I'd really like that, and I'm really worried that's the route they're going. Second of all, it seems like you're still in the same city. So I'm wondering, are we going to see new areas, or is it going to be, here's the same map, just doing different things? So I'm like, I hope I see different parts of the city, or it's a different city altogether. I think they really need to go to a different city. So there's a lot of questions out there. And then I know I'm not even going to go into Ruffian, because Kyle's going to rip into that. I'll let him do that. But it's still Crackdown. If they can keep the core gameplay there, then I think it can be a lot of fun. And either way, I'm buying this game no matter what.
So I'm surprised you left out two key features that I thought you were going to say.
Oh, I mean, okay, I'll go into it. I figured someone else might want to bring them up. But the game has four-player co-op in your kind of campaign, which is cool, because the Crackdown only had two-player. So now you can have four, which will be a lot of fun. Yep. And they're bringing on multiplayer with 16-player online multiplayer. So we don't know anything other than that. So I can only assume that it's going to be kind of like GTA 4 with different types of game modes and stuff like that. I didn't care for GTA 4 online. I thought those games were really boring because the areas were too big and you couldn't find anybody. So I really don't care about the online play for this game. Four-player co-op, I think, will be a lot of fun.
Yeah, that'll be neat.
But I want more of this game. I want to see it, and I can't wait.
Same here.
And on that
note, that's all I need to say. Same here.
Rob, you've been kind of quiet. You got any comments?
None whatsoever. I never played the first one, so.
Get him out of here.
Yeah.
And I'll just keep my little comment quick. We definitely got a confirmation at the end of the trailer that it is being produced by a different developer than the first one, and that's Ruffian Games. And I think the reason why that Real Time Worlds was dropped from the development was because they no longer are buddy-buddy with Microsoft anymore. That means that EA actually announced they picked up Real Time Worlds in their press conference. And that would be probably a pretty good indication why they aren't developing Crackdown, because they're also working on EA titles as well as APB, which does look good.
Wrong.
What? What?
You are so wrong, my friend.
Why?
The issue is that Microsoft never greenlighted Crackdown 2 earlier on when they should have. So Real Time Worlds is a very small developer, and they are only doing one game at a time. So they're on APB. So they don't have the resources to make another game at the same time as they're working on APB. Ruffian Games is actually people who have left Real Time Worlds, who worked on the original Crackdown and formed their own studio. So the studio that is making it are made up of people who did work on the original Crackdown. So because it's not Real Time Worlds, it's still people that worked on it. It's just going to be like, what's the people from Ensemble that made Halo Wars?
Who's handling it now? Robot Studios.
So it, you know, we could kind of say the same about Robot Studios. Oh, well, they're making this RTS, so that's going to be no good. Well, it will be, because it's actually people from Ensemble.
Right.
So, and that's basically what Ruffian is. It is the people that made Crackdown. So, you know, they know what they're doing, and that's the good thing about it. So.
Okay.
In
well,
your face.
Still, I am a little worried about the whole monster thing. I thought that was kind of weird, but definitely need to see more of this. It's looking for an early 2010 release, and I think that's enough for Crackdown 2. Looking forward to it still, but I'm just a couple things. Next on the list, Left 4 Dead 2, another one that was announced at E3 this year, and kind of surprised because it's just a little under a year now that they've came out with Left 4 Dead 1, and now it's shooting for November. I think 17th release date or something like 22nd or something in November. And I don't know, the game, you know, we just got to see a quick glimpse of it. It features chainsaws and new characters and all that fun stuff. Anybody have any comments for that one?
All righty.
Nope.
Okay. Well, I guess that would be a no.
I think it's awful strange that this is Valve, who's known to support games for a long time, pump out a lot of DLC or, you know, continue supporting a game, and bam, they're putting a sequel out within a year. Because now you know there's no DLC coming for the first game now.
Right.
And we all thought they were going to
get that free
stuff.
DLC.
Yeah, but people were expecting more campaigns and... Because it was, I mean, this game set up perfectly to add, you know, movies, if you will.
Right.
The little clip campaigns, and nothing's going to come now because they're working on the new sequel, which right. It is strange. Just seems odd.
Yeah. I mean, it's a rent for me. I don't think I'll buy it, but a lot of people love Left 4 Dead, the first one, and I'm sure everybody's going to love Left 4 Dead 2. It does look very gory and everything that people like to see in video games now. So it was a good announcement, I thought, overall.
Yeah, it's just, I think it caught everybody off guard. That's the big thing. It's just everybody's like, huh? You know what?
Yeah.
Everybody was expecting DLC announcements for that game, not a sequel already.
Right, exactly. So we'll see if people will pony up to $60 to buy this game.
Oh, they will.
Second time around.
They will.
Yeah, I think they would, but I won't. I didn't really enjoy the first one that much to warrant another $60 down. But nobody else comments on Left 4 Dead 2?
Nope.
All right. Well, the next game on the list was another stage demo from our friends over at Ubisoft Montreal. They showed off Splinter Cell Conviction. And that game, I have to say, looks amazing. It's come a long ways, and it should have been for being in development for, I think, 3 years now, or two to 3 years. The game is taking a different take from Sam Fisher. He's rogue. He's trying to find out who killed his daughter, and he'll use any means necessary to get information. It's kind of like Dead Space, in which that there's no real HUD. I mean, there is kind of, but everything's kind of just in the environment. You know, you're in the demo, they showed like the objective was painted all over the mansion. It was like infiltrate the mansion. And it was actually
that looks stupid.
The building.
Oh,
I don't know.
I think it's cool.
I think that's cool.
Yeah.
As well as when you're interrogating someone, the video of that memory or what that guy's telling you is playing in the background as you're looking at it.
That so I thought was neat.
It kind of gives you like while he's talking, it's also playing a video with its own audio.
Right.
And they kind of showed kind of a cliffhanger. There's a lot of features that this game offers. You know, talking about it doesn't really do it justice. You got to go watch the actual stage demo. They do a real good job of showing off some new features in there. They did confirm that later on you do get hookups with your same gear and stuff, so that will be cool. But it's more of a not really stealth. I mean, there's still very much stealth elements, but there's more kind of do whatever you want. You're not just tied to stealth like you were in the other games, which is definitely welcomed by my part. At the end, you know, I'll leave it up to those that want to watch it, but it kind of does cliffhanger a little bit, and I'm definitely very interested to see this one. Winter 2009 is what we got off this one, and I just can't wait. Anybody want to comment on this? Game,
yeah, that game there is actually my game of the show.
Really?
Yeah, I liked it. I think it looks great, and I played the first couple Splinter Cells, and I liked them, and I think I'm just really going to like this one. So
when it started out in that bathroom stall, and he's like breaking the urinals to get what the information out of that guy, and like banging his head up against the wall, breaking doors down, and it was just like, this is what I want to play. You know, this is how I want to play. And you know, in the first minute, it showed me that this game is definitely a buy for me.
But, yeah. I mean, Alan Wake looked great too, and Forza 3, but. You know, those were like the three. And, you know, Modern Warfare 2, I kind of like what Wing said earlier, is that we expect it. That's what we expect out of that. But with Alan Wake and Splinter Cell Conviction, I wasn't expecting what I saw. So those are like my two top. But then Forza 3 was in there too, because it looked awesome in the video that they played about the cars going around and things like that was super cool, but but continue down the list.
All right, no, everybody's done with Conviction.
Oh, sorry.
Yep.
I would say it's the best looking game that Microsoft showed. I was very impressed with the visuals.
Right. And that is a Microsoft exclusive, so yeah. That was
and cool. Alan Wake. I mean, you didn't think Alan Wake looked great, or
It's too dark to tell.
We can get to that in a second. We got a couple more games to get before that. But this is something that everybody I think was looking into and very interested in the release of something out of Turn 10. And that's Forza 3. The game, just everything I look at this game, it just mind-blowingly amazing. Best racing game, looks to be best racing game out there. You know, there's a couple key things that I want to mention, but everybody, from what you saw in the videos, definite buy for you guys.
Yes.
Probably.
Yeah.
Any comments on what you saw in the videos?
Nope. It's Forza.
It's Forza.
Just beautiful. Yeah.
It looks better than Gran Turismo.
Yeah. I think with Forza 3, I think I'm going to start driving from cockpit view,
which is actually something that they just announced. So
yeah. Yeah.
I think I'll still use the third person, the close third person camera.
You're going to keep hiring drivers. You're not going to.
Well, that's when I'm not actually playing the game.
I like the front bumper, like on the ground type of view too.
Yeah.
All right.
Quick couple things. Surprise to a couple people, myself included, when they announced an October release date for October 2009, release date for this one. It's been in the making, but we haven't really heard anything of it, so it's been a good little secret. It is going to ship on two discs. The core game is going to be on one disc, and then maps and additional cars will be on the second disc. From what I could gather from an interview, you do have to install that to your hard drive. Who knows how big that actually is going to be. And that leads to a couple questions of Microsoft. Are you going to drop prices of hard drives? Are you going to allow, you know, a separate way to do this? You know, there's a lot of questions in that. Myself, I don't have very much of a problem, but I have a 120 gig drive. Those 20 gig people that are floating on a gig or two might be out of luck with something like this. But I think it is a better move than saying, here's your core game, and if you want all these cars and maps that we couldn't fit onto disc one, you have to buy it for DLC, you know, that type of deal. Yeah. So I did like the way they did that.
And not to kind of jump ahead, but I did have a comment for later. I mean, the games on demand, like downloading retail games. My question was, well, where are the new cheaper hard drives? Because if you're going to allow people to download games, you know, and do things like that as far as installing, I was expecting an announcement or seeing something just like in a press release or something like that, the hard drives are getting cheaper or a larger one or something, because, you know, now I'm going to have to go buy one.
Yeah.
I'm not too happy with that.
And you would think, not to jump ahead, but you'd think that they would want to have this games on demand feature and allow everyone to do it. But with 20 gig drives, you know, when I was on my 20 gig, I was floating between, and I had to delete a lot of Rock Band content, but I was floating 3 to 4 gigs. That's not going to be enough for any games on demand. So therefore I'm completely out of the market, because I don't want to delete my save files and my 4 gigs of Burnout Paradise just so that I can download a game and play it on my my drive.
3.89 is what I have.
Yeah. I have like 90, so I'm okay now. But I don't think you're willing to invest $150 in a new 120 gig hard drive.
Nope.
And transfer all your debt over somehow.
Yeah, just to buy a $60 game, go spend $120.
Yeah.
But, okay.
All right. Next on the list, Halo 3 ODST. After seeing this game, definite buy. Nice little sound effect there, like that.
I think it's a rental for me.
They just, I don't know, from what the content that they're packing on here, it's a buy, in my book. You know, it's got a lot of things. Anybody want to make a comment on what they saw about Halo ODST at the Microsoft briefing or any interviews that they saw?
It looks cool. Don't get me wrong. I'm excited to play it, but I don't think I'll be buying it. So,
yeah, I like the feel of the game. You know, the ambience that it has. I mean, it really like draws you in. But yeah, I don't know if I'll be getting it myself either.
They took a page out of Gears of War 2.
Yeah.
With a firefight mode, which mm-hmm. looks to be a horde mode.
It's so, a little. Like it's a lot different than Horde mode, but yes, it is kind of the same thing as...
Because you're co-oping against AI with your buddies.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But that could be same thing for story mode as well. But I see where you're going. I see where you're going. And in some sense, it is the same type of deal, but it is... It offers a lot more than just Gears of War 2. It expands on that mode, which I think is
right.
Cool.
Yeah, definitely.
The reason why it's a buy for me is they're packaging all the DLC that has come out for Halo 3 on the disc. It actually will be shipping on two discs. One is going to be the actual single player, and it is going to be priced at $59.99. The second disc is going to be straight multiplayer. So two separate discs for single player, multiplayer. Multiplayer will have, like I said, all Halo 3 DLC, as well as, I think he said, 24 maps is what it's going to ship with. I don't know. And I'm going to get the Collector's Edition, because if you guys seen that controller for Halo 3 ODST, the thing looks ridiculous. So I'll be popping $100 on this game. But
so you're going to buy the controller, huh?
I'm going to buy that controller. I will buy the controller. And since I think we're kind of done with Halo ODST, if you buy Halo 3 ODST, you also get a multiplayer beta code to Halo Reach, which is another Halo FPS. And as Wing, you pointed out in the ODST gameplay that they showed on the wall, it said, "Remember Halo Reach." Didn't really get much. We know it's before ODST and before Halo 3. But we don't know really what's going on. They showed a short trailer. Check it out when you get a chance. I don't think we can really comment other than that Bungie's working on another Halo title. That would be me. Anybody comment on that, like, 30-second trailer?
I think the whole Reach thing is, like, where the, like, one of the big fights where a lot of the
Spartans get killed.
Stuff got killed, right?
Yeah, I would say so.
There's a book called The Fall of Reach.
Right?
Yeah.
Right.
I think that's what it's based on.
But other than that, we really don't know anything about Halo Reach. Bungie wanted to focus more on ODST, which is going to come out. September 22nd is the Halo 3 ODST release. And Alan Wake is next on the board. We got to see a little bit of Alan Wake. Who liked it? What you didn't like? What's going on in your minds with this game?
I think it looks nice, and I'm kind of excited to play it. But it's not coming out till next year, so until closer to that date, I really don't want to dive into it. But
I don't have any thoughts on it, just because it was just so dark, and to me, it kind of reminded me of more of like, what's that game? Alone in the Dark.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of. I mean, from what the videos I saw, it looked like it's a nice game, but it's not what I thought it was going to be, so it really didn't impress me.
Yeah,
exactly. I mean, it really reminded me of one of those zombie movies, you know, Resident Evil or, you know.
Right.
One of those kind.
The one cool thing that I thought in the gameplay was that the zombies or whatever they are really reacted to the flashlight this guy had. And you could visibly see, you know, the reaction going on. And I thought that was kind of cool that they were kind of almost looked like they were burning up, or they were very sensitive to light.
And
I thought that was a cool little deal. The game looks good, but yeah, I would vote with everybody else that it's definitely we definitely need to see more. Last.fm is the first part of the dashboard upgrades.
Oh, hold on real quick. Before we go into like the Xbox Live stuff, there's one more game. Can you want to cover Metal Gear Solid?
Oh, the Metal Gear Solid Rising. it was, I guess we could touch on it real quick. The game, during the press conference, about like I think 20 minutes in or so, they said that the rest of the point will be only on Xbox, and then they started. And then they had Kojima come up and talk about Metal Gear Rising. And it's not Game of Solid Snake. It's going to feature Raiden. And they really didn't show much, so we really can't talk about it. But evidently, this game is not going to be an Xbox 360 exclusive. It's going to be just a PS3 title as well, but we will see a Metal Gear Solid come at the same time as a PS3 Metal Gear Solid title. So,
right.
Or Metal Gear, I should say. But, I mean, you know, we've got our foot in the door for Metal Gear. I doubt that we'll see Metal Gear 4, but Kojima and Konami have kind of seen what the Xbox can do, and it proves that the 360 can roll with Metal Gear. So I thought that was a good announcement, but it's still 2010, late 2010, I would say. But
yeah, you're not going to see Metal Gear Solid 4. The Kojima's making four separate Metal Gear Solid games right now.
Mm-hmm.
they don't have time to port this thing over and do the things that it's going to take to make it happen. And, yeah, you know, I don't see a point. Anybody that's a Metal Gear fan has probably already got it on the PS3 anyways.
Right. Yeah. You know? I didn't think it was very good anyways. So,
for the list of Xbox Live stuff, Kyle, why don't you just run through it all real quick, and then we can go around and kind of talk about it all.
Yeah, I can do that. I was gonna bundle the first three kind of together, but I can just shout through the whole thing. Basically, okay. Memorized it. It seems like I was I was listening to it, blogging, and twittering at the same time for the press conference. So I got it three times in my head. So and quite honestly, all these release dates and stuff, I just remember. It's not in the script. It's nothing like that. I just, for some reason, I remember these things. now kind of starts the part of the show, and basically what we're doing is we're just going down the Microsoft press conference, just shouting off everything that happened. And this is the part of the show where they go to the Xbox Live and kind of talk about what's new coming to Xbox Live. We got three main upgrades coming in what would assume to be a late fall, maybe even winter update based on past updates. We're going to get Last.fm, which is a radio service, online radio, Twitter, Facebook. We're going to be able to instant play 1080p movies. The video market, which is definitely nice. The video marketplace is going to be renamed Zune Marketplace. There is a new party feature coming that will allow you to basically sit down virtually with your friends and avatars and watch a movie. Basically, you know, the screen's playing and you got your little avatars in the movie seats watching the movie and eating popcorn and stuff like that.
Which was stripped out from
the NXE launch that was stripped out. And it's still kind of unclear if you have to have Netflix for everyone to watch it. I would assume so.
Yeah, you're going to need that.
But
yeah, that was the way it was before it was stripped out.
Yep. You're still going to need to have the ability to serve it just to get to the movie.
Right. Well, yeah, that's true. But that's definitely cool. So Mark and I can sit down and watch movies together. And Brun, you have Netflix as well? Yeah, Brun. Yep. And Rob, you got Netflix?
No, I don't.
Oh, well, then
Rob. I was going to say, he probably has Netflix, but he probably didn't watch on his 360.
He doesn't stream it. Yeah. Or else we'd see him on all the time, like Brun and Wing are watching movies and stuff. It's a cool service, I will have to say. Another update for Netflix is that you'll be able to actually browse the whole Instant Watch library from your 360.
Cool.
I remember when I added Netflix to my 360, I messaged Wing and I was like, what the heck? I can't I can't go on my 360 and add, you know, movies like right there and TV shows right there. I have to go online and do it. Yeah. Well, now you can do that straight from your Xbox and it looks pretty cool. Let's see what else. For you UK people, they finally announced Sky TV, which is basically – I thought it was free. And you can watch live or on-demand TV. They showed off soccer games and stuff like that. And you can also watch it with friends. This is in the UK and Ireland. That's about all we got. And then that pretty much ends it for the live updates. And then we'll get into probably the biggest showstopper of the evening. But comments on what we got here. I guess we can start at the top and just filter our way down. Radio, Twitter, Facebook, anybody?
I like the Last.fm Twitter and Facebook integration. I'm happy with all of it, actually. I don't see anything here that I'm too bummed about.
You're like, oh dang, we have to get Facebook on our Xbox. I mean, I guess you get the choice if you want to install it or not. It's not really a wow, oh my gosh, I can't wait for this, but it's kind of like, oh, that's right. You know, that's kind of cool. I could see myself using it once or twice here and there.
Yeah,
but
before you go to the showstopper, you know, you also have Avatar Marketplace. User ratings is nice because then things could probably be bumped up toward the top. But
right.
Then like I said a little bit earlier when I was talking about the new hard drive is games on demand. I mean, both everybody's they're heading there. They're trucking along.
The only reason why I left those out was because they actually were not a part of the press conference, so I was gonna get those afterwards. Yeah, those, the games on demand, Avatar Marketplace, and the ratings and the performance updates were part of a E3 luncheon after the press conference. I knew that they were still there, and the Avatar Marketplace, I'm sure we'll talk about for a second, but the live TV, you know, that doesn't really apply to any of us here. Anybody else have any comments about anything? I don't see the point.
I don't see the point of the Facebook and the Twittering. I see Last.fm. I think that's a cool idea since this is an entertainment center type of thing.
Yeah.
You know, a media center.
You can turn your box into a jukebox kind of, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a really good idea. I don't need this. I don't see the need for the Facebook integration. I just don't see it. And I mean, I don't know. If you're going to Facebook, why not just do it on the PC? And why do you got a Twitter? I mean, Twitter has enough problems keeping the service up. You know, when this launches this fall on the Xbox, I guarantee the day this launches that Twitter crashes and dies. Because if you go over every other day, their service is down. What's their page say?
I forget.
Over capacity. Yeah. Too many tweets.
I use Tweet 360 right now, which is just putting out to Twitter what I'm doing on Xbox. I think this here is just them bringing that integration in. It probably didn't take much for them to integrate these two things. So it's just kind of everybody's into social networking. It's just an option that you can use if you want to. I think I like the idea of posting images or whatever straight to Facebook from games, but we'll see. I'll probably use it once or twice and be done with it. So,
I think that's how it's going to be.
I think it'll be as useful as Picture Party.
Yeah,
exactly.
Everybody checked it out once and never used it again.
Yep, yeah. I agree.
So, the instant playing of 1080p movies, I still don't see how you're going to do that.
What do they mean by instant connection?
You've got to have a time. You've got to buffer something. You're not going to stream a 1080p movie unless you got one heck of a big pipe coming to your house.
I think their whole issue with, or the whole thing about this was like, you no longer have to download to your Xbox before you watch a movie. Now you can do it live. I bet you can still download it. I bet you that'll still be an option.
I bet it works like Netflix, where
Netflix buffers.
It will buffer a little bit.
I bet it will download, say, a portion of it.
On the thing they showed, the guy hit play and the movie immediately started from the very beginning.
Yeah, but that was probably a local setup and everything.
Right, but that's what they're saying. Instant playing.
Yeah.
We'll see if it happens.
Yeah, it'll be and they're talking 1080p instead of 780p or 720p, which is what the movies are now that you have to buffer. So I think you're going to need one heck of a pipe to make that happen, to actually get what they're claiming. You know, I'll bet you most users won't see that.
But still, 1080p streaming, regardless if it is InstaWatch, is cool enough. So in my opinion.
If it works, it's cool. It's awesome if it works.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
I mean, you might have to wait a little bit. If you want to watch a video in 1080p, you might have to wait for it to buffer, but you don't have to let it download completely.
Right, but you don't have to now anyways. Even currently today, it starts to buffer a little bit and we'll start playing. That's what I'm saying. This thing they're saying is you hit play, it starts. Boom. Just as if you're watching TV or like you're doing a video on demand on your cable or your satellite. I mean, it immediately starts playing. That's what they're saying you can do now, which I'm not buying that until I see it in action.
Yeah.
So one of my biggest disappointments was, where was the Zune HD?
CES 2010.
they talked about it a couple days before E3 and then nothing at E3.
I promise you it will be at CES 2010.
That's their
announcement.
All they talked about was the Zune Marketplace.
Yeah. Well, the funny thing is next week is the WWDC. DC.
Yeah, it actually might conference. Be there. I forgot about that. Because iPhone's going to make a new announcement.
Yeah, they're probably waiting to see what happens with the new iPhone and all that stuff happens before they... come out, because what they've talked about over the last couple of days, they're still claiming that is a prototype. You know, that is not the final build, yada, 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 even though it looks great.
It looks awesome. I want one. Yeah.
It looks good. Now, the only reason why it wouldn't be at E3 is A, it doesn't have gaming, which E3 is all about games. I mean, it is about electronics, but
it's got to have games on it. The current one has games.
But I don't know. I mean, just seeing that everybody got their hands on it and there's no games tab, you know, maybe they took that out just to show it off and then, wow, it has games now. But I don't know. I mean, I think they would have, if it has integration with the marketplace, I think they would have showed it at E3. They could have cut something out or made it just a little bit longer because no one was behind them when it came to press conferences. They started at day zero. So they could have made it as long as they really wanted to.
It was all on TV. They couldn't. They were all limited on time due to television. But anyways.
2 hours, I think.
Yeah, 2 hours was the max, I believe. But,
All right.
Well, Zune HD wasn't the big showstopper. Can't talk now. So what was? Well, it's a little thing
Milo.
Called... Well,
a boy named Milo.
A boy named Milo and Lionhead's new project. Well, okay. What powers Milo? Well, it's Project Natal. And we've been hearing rumors about the 3D camera for a while. And we didn't think it was coming until it, bam, it hit us. And they spent about, what, 20, 25 minutes on this thing. And, you know, there was a long, very long tech demo. And I thought it was pretty impressive, some parts. Some parts were like, eh, this is kind of dumb. But, you know, it showcases what this thing can do.
It was impressive. The painting part was pretty funny.
The painting part was ridiculous. And, you know, again, this is another thing where you can't just talk about it and just get everything that we're trying to say. You got to actually watch this for yourself and see it happen. The painting thing was great. You know, it was like blue, red, brown. And then when they made the elephant, I thought that was really good. You know, during one of the things that I really enjoyed and I was just blown away by was when the – we mentioned earlier about Tony Hawk Ride and about the peripheral. Well, you don't really need that with Natal now. Well, this boy gets his skateboard that he has and puts it in front of the camera. The camera scans it in, the backside of it, and takes that custom logo that he has, and now he can put it in game and ride with it in his skateboard game as that little logo. I thought that was ridiculously awesome. Even though I'm not a big skateboard fan, you know, you could see that potential where eventually you might be able to scan your shirt in and your avatar is now wearing it. You know, that type of deal. So I thought that was pretty cool. We'll talk about Milo in a second, but just from the stage demo and stuff like that, anything jump out at you? What were you thinking like when you seen this thing? Is this really real? Is it cool? You know, what were you guys' thoughts?
I thought everything about it was neat. I thought it was kind of funny that the guy's avatar was all like all whacked out, but it's still under development. But I thought everything was neat, but the thing that going to boil down to, and this is my opinion, of course, not, you know, I don't speak for others, but is I don't know if or what games there's going to be out to do stuff like this. And the other question mark or a couple other question marks is what's the price going to be?
Yeah.
On that thing, if you have to ask me, I want to say it's probably like $199, if not higher. I mean, if a wireless adapter is $100 and a 120 gig hard drive is $180, this thing's going to be expensive. So,
yeah.
And then I just kind of have to poke fun at the little trailer video that they had of like the people, like the family playing on the couch. I just like sat back and just laughed.
That was so lame.
The guy changing the tire. I'm like, nobody's going to do this. Stop showing this. Nobody's going to do that.
You know. But it did kind of showcase, in an essence, what Natal can do. You know, multiple let's be honest, very few families will sit there and be like, let's do this, you know, and the dad's going to stand up and change tires. But it's still, you know, just basing it on what the camera can actually do. And you don't need any peripherals. Your hands are just hand motions. That's all it is. And it can actually render that in live action time. It just blew my mind.
It's voice recognition, facial recognition. Mm-hmm. It'll work great for 1 versus 100. And the coolest part that I thought about it is when you're talking to it or you're sliding your hand, you're sliding through the menu. So like Netflix streaming and stuff like that would be great because I don't need my controller anymore.
Right, exactly.
So definitely if you can say fast forward, skip chapter, go back, you know, stop, play, pause.
Good night.
Yeah, good night. Or when I start snoring, if it turns off, that would be great.
Yeah.
See, that's what I thought. I thought the non-gaming aspects of it were really cool.
Yeah, me too.
All the gaming stuff they showed, I thought was really stupid.
Except for the skateboarding and the scanning. I thought that was cool.
Right.
The skateboarding, yes, but it's kind of like, okay, what games are they going to do for this? You know, Forza 3, am I going to be using it? But it's comes to that. It's a leap forward, I think. And even Sony came out with motion controls. And both Sony and Microsoft motion controls, I think, just, you know, surpasses Nintendo. But that can be, I think that's possible because Nintendo's been out for 2 years. Of course, the next thing out is going to be just a step better. I would expect them to be better, but I do think both of those are actually better.
Not getting off too off topic, but I think that the PS3 showing that tech demo is now the Wii HD. Because it did everything the Wii did, except for now you have to have a camera. And there's no telling if it'll support more players.
Yeah, you need to have two cameras, and the different colored balls on top would be giving you like two different cameras, and it works in a 3D. It's like does 3D space,
right?
Where I don't think the Wii does.
Oh, okay.
That's why you have two cameras, and the thing is that's why the Xbox One has two cameras.
Exactly.
Is it recognizes 3D space, and that's what Nintendo is going to have to do next, of course. But you know, instead of doing stuff like that, they're bringing in something that registers your heartbeat, like you just had surgery, because. I'll talk about that in a minute.
Now, I don't know if you guys got a chance before we move into Milo to read kind of how Natal went over with the press, actually playing a game. I read something off Kotaku that one of the guys got to play Burnout Paradise with Natal using the motion controls. And he said that it was pretty. It just felt like he had a controller in his hand. I mean, it was very fluid, real time. It worked great, except for he said that the foot thing didn't, like using your foot for gas kind of didn't work out as well. But everything else, steering, changing gears, stuff like that, using turbo I forgot what hand motion is for turbo, but he said everything worked out just fine. He didn't have any problems with it. So, racing games would be probably a staple for Natal, in my opinion. But a game that's specifically being produced for this Natal project is Milo. You guys want to set the scene? Thoughts about this kind of revolutionary game?
It was neat, but I don't know, like when something like that's going to come out, because that something like that's going to have to be free, or it's going to come with
Natal.
It's going to come with the camera and everything, but I don't know. Just so many podcasts and so many things I've read over the last couple of days about Milo and stuff like that, and all the jokes about all the jokes that they're pulling about this thing that shouldn't be spoken on podcasts and stuff. I'm kind of tired of hearing about it, but I thought it was really neat. I've watched the demo actually a couple times of like the woman talking to him and doing the motion on the hand water and stuff. It was actually really cool, but you know, it's going to have to be something that's free. So
it's definitely not really a game. It's kind of just like showing off what Natal can really do. And that's what I got out of it. this demo blew my mind in so many different proportions that it was unbelievable. You know, Lionhead is a great developing company, but when they could do something like this where the boy will comment on your shirt that you're wearing, oh, nice red shirt, and you're actually wearing a red shirt, you know, that whole thing is, I don't know. To me, it's like from everything that Peter Molyneux was talking about, he actually did. You know, he could sense tone. He could sense everything. The thing that blew me away was when she held up the picture of the fish that she drew, and it scanned in and it dropped down in real time back to Milo. And he was like, oh, nice orange fish. And she used orange as her color. I think that was just – I was like, whoa.
Yeah. Do you want my prediction of what Milo is going to turn into?
A virtual reality boy.
Well – what do you think he's going to be used in, or he's not going to replace?
It's probably Fable 2.
No,
or
no.
Or Fable 3.
Well, that's not exactly what I was thinking, but no. When you picture this, okay, say you have this device and you have it hooked to your 360, and you go into your room and you say on or hello, whatever you want to say, and your Xbox turns on, and all of a sudden, instead of seeing the dashboard, you're going to be talking to Milo.
It's like, hey, Milo, you want to play a game? It's like,
what game? Want to play a game, want to watch a movie, want to see who my friends are on, you want to see this. He is going to turn into a virtual NXE. That is what I believe that project's going to turn into.
So it's going to be like he's going to be like a new dashboard, essentially.
He's going to be a virtual reality dashboard.
Yeah.
And he's going to, you know, talk to you. Like if I say, who's online, it's going to say, well, Wingman 709 or Wingman 709 is playing this. Moronic Cow's doing this. Rob hasn't been on for 16 weeks. It's going to say things like that.
Well, you know, maybe what do you do would be instead of like saying, like, you know, if you have a lot of friends, that could get kind of annoying. Maybe like taking a page out of his journal or something, holding it up, and then all of a sudden you're looking at your friends list. You know, that type of deal.
No, yeah, you could ask him, is Wingman 709 on?
Yeah.
No. It'll be something like that. I almost, when I saw that,
but would people want that? You know, that type of deal. I mean, would people really want to talk to a virtual boy to kind of roundabout way? You know, yeah, it'd be kind of nice to without your controller, turn on your box and be like, hey, Milo, I want to watch Netflix. And then you just use your hand to sort through, hey, Milo, let's watch episode 25 of CSI Miami, you know, that type of deal.
Yeah. It'll be an option of some sort. I bet you it could be something like a startup option. Do you want to go to NXE? Do you want to go to Milo? And then what's really cool is your Xbox red rings. You have the red ring, and then it could be like, hello, Dave. Stuff like that.
I was totally thinking of 2001 A Space Odyssey when I saw that thing.
Hello, BJ Swick 33. The rings turn red, and it starts shooting games at you. So.
Nice.
And one thing I got to say, I mean, as cool as the whole Milo thing is, it's kind of creepy.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen too many of those horror movies, you know, where the demon's in the TV and, you know, it starts talking to you. That's what it reminded me of.
Yeah, and really, if they do make it a virtual dashboard or whatever, they're going to have to do something. It can't be like a boy, a small boy or a small girl or anything like that. They're going to have to make it like an older adult.
An adult or a robot or something. Or
something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's just kind of you're right when you're talking. You're saying creepy as in a different way. Me, I'm just like I'm not going to talk to a small boy.
Oh, yeah.
So, but
yeah, that's true.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah,
but other than that, I think the last thing, as if we've had enough to talk about this week, we got the Avatar Marketplace, which was confirmed in the luncheon after E3. It didn't make the press conference. Basically, they're giving us everything we wanted when it comes to avatars. That basically, you know, unlockable clothes from achievements. They actually gave out their first prop Anybody?
We called what? That too, by the way.
Yeah.
They gave out their first prop at E3. If you're at E3, you could swing by the booth and get a little code, and you can download a trophy that says E3 on it. They showcased the coolest thing I thought was they showcased the ODST armor. And I'm assuming you can either buy or win somehow by completing the game or something. But there will be stuff that you will have to pay for eventually for clothing options and stuff like that. And that's where the whole Avatar marketplace comes in. But, you know, they showed the ODST guy with pom-poms. You know, there will be props and a lot of stuff that we've been calling for a while. And looks like they finally gave the green light to go ahead and release this stuff. And that's, I'm assuming, would be part of the fall update as well.
Is any of the – so you just kind of answered my question. But why – you know how sometimes Apple – We'll hold a conference and they'll say like, hey, we're gonna bring out this piece of software, blah 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 blah, and it's available right now.
Yeah.
Today you can pick this up today. I mean, I was just looking at this. I was just some of the stuff. It's like, why not announce this and release it tomorrow or today? Like, make people excited about something instead of like, oh, it's going to be a part of our fall update that we're not supposed to have anymore with the new NXE, because that's the way we built it, where we could just push out updates. Like, there's nothing like that. It's all like, oh, we're going to do this and bring it out in winter, you know.
Probably because it's not ready for global.
Well, it's I understand it doesn't bother me that much, but it would be nice.
It would be cool. I mean, you'd think that this is kind of an easy thing to put in there.
Right. I mean, but it's
in the whole spectrum of things that they could add, like Facebook. I'm sure that's got to be a very interesting thing to code.
Netflix, they were, that should have been a real simple thing. That should have been able to say you can do it as of today.
Yeah.
Why? Yeah. We already have the application, just update it and we're done.
Yeah, right. And that was the whole thing about NXE, is like, they were no longer going to have fall, spring, winter updates. It's just,
but yet it's turning into a release window when they're going to release all this stuff, and they might as well just call it an update.
Yeah. That was whole thing with this. It's like, oh, if we have a new piece of functionality, we can just push it out. We don't have to wait anymore. It's just as if you're updating a game, you know, and they haven't done it yet. So, except for one versus 100, I guess, would be something that they would.
Yeah, that you didn't need to update your box for.
Right. So,
but and I bet they will dynamically release this stuff as they get it out. I don't think they'll wait until the last second to release it all. I think as it gets passed and certified and made sure that 100% this thing's going to work as soon as it launches, that they'll release it. So, but I would like to see something, just like, give us an E3 shirt or just something different that has something to do with games. But last thing that came via a community letter,
hey, Kyle.
Yeah.
How much would you pay for the Gra Has a Posse T-shirt?
does that actually exist?
I don't know. I just know that was your gamer pick for so for long.
For that was like a year and a half until the Avatars came out. How much would I pay? I don't know. I like my business suit right now, and I think that only the ODST armor I would pay for. Maybe a Spartan armor as well. But I think one of those two, probably the only thing I'd pay for. Garage of Posse, if I had to, maybe 50 Microsoft points, something like that. Small, very minimal.
I want jerseys. I want like baseball uniforms and hockey jerseys and Buckeye football jersey.
Unfortunately, I don't think that's going to happen.
I know. It's but, be so cool, though.
It will, because there's money. The NFL and NBA and all that, they'll make money.
You think they'll license it for...
Yes. Yes, I do.
Okay.
You're going to see, that was one of the things that was listed, was about, like, Nike. I was already signed up. You're going to have Nike shirts and stuff you can buy. There's going to be
sponsored gamers
type of things.
Yeah, they had like your little gamer, you know, the gamer picks and stuff of Ohio State and Blue Jackets and red.
And there's a lot of themes out there too with that, all that stuff. So yeah, you'll see it in the Avatar marketplace.
Might take a while, but you'll see it.
Yeah, I want to see my Avatar in a little White Sox pinstripe uniform. That would be awesome.
I want to see the bottom of my Avatar shoe.
Bam. And then his thing whacks out and his arm falls off. That was funny. But, all right. Is it VIP time?
I think it's VIP time.
Woohoo!
All right, for this week's VIP section, first thing is from Fairpower. He writes, do you guys think you are fashionable and why?
I'm not.
Me neither.
I am sometimes. Depends on if I'm wearing something that my wife buys me or if I buy it.
No, I'm not, because I'm married and I'm a father. And
Wing, are you fashionable?
Nope.
Okay.
I see that.
Jeans and a t-shirt, man.
Yeah. Amen, brother. And shorts down here.
Yeah.
I need some shorts down here. But other than that, yeah. T-shirt and shorts.
You dress like your avatar. The next thing is from Dirty Bites. What are your thoughts about Crackdown 2 and the video LA Lakers in 5?
Wing, do you want to answer to Crackdown 2?
Oh, hold on. Sorry.
No, wait.
Okay, what was the question again? What are my thoughts about Crackdown 2 and the video?
Yeah.
Wow, that was too quiet.
Yeah.
I'm excited for it. We kind of talked about it up above, so LA basketball.
I hate Kobe Bryant.
I say Cavaliers in. Oh wait, never mind.
Yeah,
you mean Orlando?
Whoopsies.
I know. Yeah. Next.
Okay, Trainwreck writes, what was the biggest surprise or shocker for you from Microsoft's E3 press conference?
I'd say Project Natal.
Ditto.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. That, the actual announcement of Crackdown 2, and the fact that they had nothing there about the Zune. All three were big surprises for me.
Metal Gear coming to the 360 was another one. But
no, I didn't actually, you know, forgot completely about saying what we thought overall of the press conferences and E3 or whatever. I think Microsoft did an excellent job. I think Sony did an okay job. I think Nintendo bombed. Honestly, I don't care if you talk about Metroid Prime and like four Mario games. But
Mario Galaxy 2. Yeah! Woo!
Most people
Mario that Sports heard... Resort, right? Or Wii Sports Resort.
Yeah.
Which they touted last E3.
Yeah. Right.
New games for a game that hasn't came out that they announced last year. But yeah, you can do your heart rate. I think most of the people, the one quick thing about the most people that I've been listening to, because I listen a ton of podcasts this week. Oh my gosh, I've heard the same stories over and over and over. But a lot of people are giving like the edge, like who was the winner out of the big three, and all of them are saying Microsoft. They say Uncharted 2 looks great for Sony, and they're excited for the new Super Mario Brothers and Metroid Prime, but they kind of laughed at the whole new peripheral for Nintendo, and they said that, they kind of laughed at a couple of the announcements for Sony. And as far as Nintendo, or as far as Microsoft, they really didn't say that much. What they liked the most, I think, was at the beginning. They're like, "Oh, we're not going to talk numbers and pie charts. We're going to talk about games."
Yeah.
And everybody just cheered, and that's what they did. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Sony is coming out with a pink PSP Go Hannah Montana special limited edition. So
I thought that was a PSP 3000.
I don't know what it is.
They talked a lot of PSP. They talked about something that was leaked, and why are you doing this?
And they started out with talking about the PS2.
Yeah, they led with the PS2, which made no sense to me.
They did. What was the game I just mentioned?
Uncharted 2.
They did Uncharted 2.
That looks good.
Yeah, it does. It looks awesome. That looks
really cool.
It's something that would cause me to buy a PS3.
No.
But they didn't drop the price.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Basically, Sony's press conference was for the PS3, Uncharted 2, and MAG, which are supposed to drop before the end of the year. Okay.
Right.
And then their whole slogan was, it's only possible on PlayStation. Yet, their montage of gameplay, about four of them were PS3 exclusives. Everything else was multi-platform. And I thought that was hilarious. And then at the end, they showed God of War 3, which does look good, 2010. And then they showed a brief teaser of Final Fantasy 14, yeah. Which Final Fantasy 13 hasn't even come out yet. And that was, you know, whatever.
It's 2010. But Microsoft did the same thing with
Final Fantasy 13.
Well, and they did with Alan Wake too. Those are 2010 games, but
yeah, but Halo. Microsoft showed how many games that are coming out in 2009. Uh-huh. They showed 9 games that came in 2009, and four of them are 2010. So you got like 80% of your games that are coming out in 2009. Sony's was like, well, they only showed like four. So it was a lot of numbers. It was a lot of talking. They talked about their Latin American phases and stuff like that. No one wants to hear about that. They want to hear about games, and they want to hear about your dropping your prices for your PS3. And the Go... Real quick, the Go, totally overpriced. My goodness, what are they thinking with that price point?
I about lost it when I heard that. I was like, never mind.
Yeah, I totally out of that. It's cheaper for them to sell, and yet they're marketing it, and they're going to support the PSP 3000. What's the point? So, who knows? But anyways, Microsoft.
Yeah, sorry for jumping off track, but I know I wanted to say a couple things.
I'm glad we got that in there. Vitality sensor is going to be a must for me, though.
Oh, jeez.
Anyways. Next.
Yeah, okay. So, Assassinator 8. It's a multi-parter here. Could you please tell everyone again what the movie Avatar is all about, like it said in the Ubisoft press conference?
You know what, Soul? Go to hell. and if anybody watched the Ubisoft press conference, you'll know why I said that.
Are you talking about the part where James Cameron goes 20 minutes about his movie and game and 10-foot-tall cavemen versus helicopters and, let's leave it at that.
This is all we heard. Uh-oh. Here's all we heard.
Is this the guy that talked for 20 minutes but didn't show any gameplay whatsoever?
Exactly. Nope. Oh. He was talking about the movie practically for the whole time. Luckily, you didn't have to live blog that. Because yeah. I did. And yeah. I basically, when he was talking, I said, James Cameron is talking about something that we don't care about. Live blog paused. And then I just waited for him to stop talking 20 minutes later.
Yeah, I hired my help to do it for me. Thanks, by the way, Kyle.
Yeah, no problem. Don't make it for that one. Okay, I'm next.
All right.
Oh, it gets worse.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it does.
Keep going.
Okay. EA Games for Girls or Tween Games 2.0?
I would have to say neither.
Neither.
EA's press conference was not as bad as Ubisoft's, but Ubisoft was wretched. Horrible.
Yeah.
Some of the EA stuff is going to be great. Like the sports stuff,
the team builder,
created teams, and having your stuff online now is awesome. The team builder is available now. I already logged in and checked it out.
What do you think about pets and Imagine?
No.
You don't like Hannah Montana, the video game?
No. All right.
Okay. All right. Next.
He goes, all right, now that you guys have answered those or not, what is the game you're looking forward to most now after the three big E3 briefings?
Splinter Cell, Forza 3, Modern Warfare 2.
I would say Splinter Cell Conviction, if I had to choose one, but I'm going to buy all three.
NCAA 10.
That's coming up pretty quick.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to Modern Warfare and the Joyride.
Huh. That's good. That's neat. Mm-hmm.
Wing?
Modern Warfare 2, Assassin's Creed.
Oh, yeah.
And, Assassin's Creed 2. And Forza Motorsport 3 totally blew me away. Forza 3 was unbelievable.
Assassin's Creed 2, November 17th. I forgot
about that. That trailer was awesome.
Yeah, it was.
That's why, what was it, what game character would you want to be? And I said, you know, Garrett from 3, or with Thief, or him, basically.
Did you see the trailer of AC2 where he's on the flying machine from Da Vinci?
Yeah.
That was really cool. I'm like, this game is going to be so much fun, man. And if you were bored in the first game with mission types, I watched an interview with Jade Raymond and another guy that's working on the AC2, and they were talking about there was about basically like 5 or 6 mission types in the first game, and right now they got like over 200 different missions for Assassin's Creed 2. It's going to be a lot different, and there's going to be a lot more to it than this. You won't be doing the same thing over and over. So it's going to be awesome.
Okay. The last thing he's got is, we need to play the 5-player co-op on the new PSP Go with the Hannah Montana bundle. Yeah.
You're on your own, buddy.
You're on your own with that one, sir.
Okay, Ravioli Capone writes in, what do you think of the new motion voice detection device for Microsoft? I was so skeptical of it at first. I completely disregarded it as anything I would buy, but seeing that presentation completely changed my mind. Also, how much do you think it's going to cost?
I think we've kind of
covered
that already.
Yeah.
I bet you it's like $249.
I don't think it's going to be that expensive.
No. It's not going to be more than an arcade box.
It's going to be under $100. That's what they were saying. I can't remember which show I was listening to. In fact, I think it was the bonus round from Game Trailers, and I believe it was Michael Pachter that said that Microsoft said they wanted this to be under $100 for this.
Wow.
Yeah. They don't want it to be expensive. They want it to be something that's usable by everybody. That they can, you know, people are going to just buy it to add on, and they don't want it to be expensive.
Yeah, I mean, they've got to price it competitively, you know, just to get the market penetration for it.
Right. Because,
you know, if it's too expensive, very few people are going to get it, and then all those games are going to die. You know, all the stuff that's specific for it.
Right. I think you're going to find it very affordable. It'll be cheaper than a wireless card.
that's the thing.
Actually, one thing I'd really like to find out is, where's the smarts for this thing? Is it in that little box? Does that do all the processing for all the video stuff? Or is it actually done off of the Xbox itself?
Xbox.
I think the software is going to be loaded in the Xbox, because he was the community lead, or Spencer, I think his last name is, he was talking that the software for the actual 3D rendering or all that stuff was already in place from Microsoft Research, you know, that they were doing all over the globe. And then when they acquired this company that made the camera, then it all came together. So I would assume that it would be a software update for the 360.
Yeah, like a gig software update.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Right.
All right.
Okay.
Dark Christoph.
Yeah, we've got a talk box from Dark Christoph.
All right. Here we go.
Hey, guys. This is Dark Christoph just calling in again to comment on the E3 week. Hope you guys aren't too tired to actually record a podcast this week with everything you've been doing. Wanted to comment on last week's show real quick on Brun's excellent kind of out there prediction about Halo 4. Well, it wasn't 100%, but they did announce Halo Reach, which they also just said was a first-person shooter, so pretty darn close on that one. Also wanted to give a quick shout-out to Kyle and the Big Bug, who I played 1 versus 100 with Monday night. It was a ton of fun. I hope you guys all were able to get in on that. I know Wing was, but we weren't able to play with him because of some technical difficulties. But yeah, keep up the great work. Get some rest, guys. We'll talk to you later.
All right. As far as, you know, being too tired to record a podcast, I feel just fine. But
I'm exhausted.
Yeah,
walking around E3 all day, you know, this whole week has killed me.
Yeah,
pretty much. Well, then you had to get back on a plane and record at your home.
Well,
today
I think this is a good time to say Kyle and Soul Assassin and everybody else. You guys did a very, very good job. So I'm proud of
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank
you. So I mean, the thing was, is I was super busy this week. I haven't been able to post anything. And I look out there and the site's just, you know, got thing at one thing after another, and you guys worked your butt off, and so you guys did a good job.
It was basically we're both watching, Soul Sass and I were both watching the press conference, and then he'd be like, okay, I got a story of that up. Okay, I got a story of that up. And I'm like, okay, great. And I'm just like sitting there typing away, like, because honestly, like, I didn't have a time to like sit back, relax. It was just constant typing. It was horrible. But we got it done, and we managed to get like, what, 2 pages of content in like 2 hours.
Yeah, it's so. Like 40 posts or something.
So, but it all in good fun. It was a lot of fun. So,
and I was close on the Halo 4, wasn't I?
Yeah, the predictions that I put up there were mostly wrong because I was counting on Microsoft to gloat a little bit, so that didn't really work that much. But all right, is that it for VIP?
Oh yeah,
that is all.
Great. Well, Mark, do you want to announce the contest winner, or do you want me to do it? Rob, anybody?
No, I guess I will.
Oh gosh, it's so much pain to do it.
It's such a hard thing to do, but all right. Well, let me get my little soundbite ready. But we do have a winner of our Peggle contest, and that winner is Trainwreck. Congratulations, you are the winner. Yeah, that's right. So you win a brand new copy, freshly shrink wrapped of Peggle. No. Trainwreck, check your keep your eye on your messages and on your Xbox Live account. We'll be sending you your code so you can download it and enjoy. If you already have it, well, give it away to somebody.
It'd been cool to have a sound bite. It's like.
You'll be hearing that a lot if you don't have Peggle.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, we need to find that. We need to find that soundbite.
Probably pretty easy.
Yeah.
But, and I guess we might as well announce our next contest. I don't know what's the date going to be on that one, but we're going to run it same thing, 3 weeks. So, all right, so it was going to be 1, 2. Okay, on the 20, get them in by the 20, actually, we'll go to the 26th of June. So you got to the last Friday of the month to get your contest entries in. Again, post in our forums under the questions for your host thread. Send us emails, send us talk boxes. Review us in iTunes. Be sure to actually write a review with your gamer tag so we know who to include. And every you can do, you can get one entry a week. And if you do an iTunes review, that actually will allow you to get a second entry, because you can only do it once anyway. So, but yeah, that'll get you. So you can possibly get two at least in 1 week, and you can get a one every week as a minimum. So be sure to continue. And what we're going to give away next is a brand new, freshly shrink-wrapped copy of Uno Rush. I don't know if any of you guys have tried that, but that's freaking insane. Mm. I did the demo, man. I'm too old and slow, man, to keep up. That's Uno on speed. It's on crack, man. It's wow. But I know people that got it and love it, and they're hooked on it. So if you want a copy of Uno Rush, get your questions, comments into us. That's all I got.
Sweet. Well, is that it for everyone?
Oh, yeah.
I think it is.
I think we got a long enough show this week, so I'll go ahead and close her out here. Be sure. Would you stop playing that? Sorry. Can we not do that?
It's my Crackdown 2 announcement week. I'm on. I can't help it.
I know. Well, next week is going to be your week celebration of Crackdown 2 being announced this week. But like Mark mentioned, if you got a question, comments, suggestion, whatever, send us an email at contact@thisxboxlife.com. Not only will you be helping us out and getting your voice on the show, but you'll also be get an entry in the contest this week, as well as our site. You probably know it, heard it 100 times now, thisxboxlife.com, and check out our forums as well. Forums.thisxboxlife.com. And I'll go ahead and take her out. Let's cue up the music. All right. This is Kyle, aka Moronic Cow, and I'm going to continue simulating in NCAA 09. See you.
This is Rob, also known as Presar. I am out of here. Catch y'all next week.
This is Mark, a.k.a. Wingman709, and I'm going off to find myself some agility orbs.
And this is BJSpec33. I'm headed to bed. Hey, Wing.
Yeah.
Can you hear? Oh, yeah.